I thought I saw it all. I thought I've seen it all. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Usually I'm coming at you every Wednesday night over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124, during my political show. But obviously a couple of times during the week, I show up on YouTube to touch about things that are pertinent in the news and, you know, just talking about it. Our president is a nightmare. There's just no way to slice it. I mean, what has transpired over the last 24 hours, as far as I'm concerned, is almost reminiscent when he came down those escalators in 2015 announcing his presidency and subsequently spent the first 10 minutes insulting 50% of the American population. And just when you thought that there was no lower depth to which he could reach, we see what we just saw. And he's not the only one. I mean, he's not the only one with problems anyway, in terms of his image and what have you. Eric Swalwell, representative out of California, is having his troubles as well. I'll get into that in just a second. But the first order of business is the president of the United States. For those of you who didn't know, he lashed out at Pope Leo the 14th following the pontiff's public condemnation of the war in Iraq just days ago, accusing the leader of the Catholic Church of being weak on crime and catering to liberals. I'm reading from an article in the Wall Street Journal because I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. I want to quote it accurately. It says here, Trump's comments, along with an AI-generated image the president posted online that appeared to depict himself as a Jesus-like figure, prompted condemnation from some on the Christian right. The image was later deleted. The quote that the president put forth there, and you see the imagery right there. I'll get into that in a second. But the quote that Trump was seen as giving was talking about how Leo should get his act together as Pope, use common sense, stop catering to the radical left, and focus on being a great Pope, not a politician. This is what Trump wrote on his Truth Social media post. He said it's hurting him badly, and more importantly, it's hurting the Catholic Church, et cetera, et cetera. Needless to say, the Pope himself had his retort to what Trump had thrown in his direction. He says, I will not shy away from announcing the message of the gospel and inviting all people to look for ways of building bridges of peace and reconciliation. This is what Pope Leo told reporters Monday on board the papal plane while flying from Rome to Algeria, according to the Associated Press. He said the message of the gospel is very clear. Blessed are the peacemakers. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that millions of people who happen to be Catholic voted for Trump. Keep in mind that Trump's extraordinary public criticism of the Pope could put the president at odds with a lot of Catholics. Obviously, tens of millions whom live in the United States. According to the report in the Wall Street Journal, several Trump administration officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance, are practicing Catholics. Practicing Catholics. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look at this right here. This is Trump. This is according to what he posted on his Truth, American flag, flying eagles in the background, with his hand on someone supposedly in a hospital bed, a nurse, military official, etc., Trump supporters. This is Trump's explanation of his now AI-deleted post. Listen to him.
Did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor and had to do with Red Cross as a Red Cross worker there, which we support. And only the fake news could come up with that one. So I just heard about it, and I said, how did they come up with that? It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better. And I do make people better. I make people a lot better. As an example, the 11,000, I understand your husband's going through treatment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's going through some very serious cancer treatment. So
yes, sir.
This goes a long way.
Yes, sir. It sure does.
Ladies and gentlemen, what doctor do you know is dressed like that? Help me understand. I just help me. you know, in a white garb, okay? In a white garb, with a red, what was it, rope draped over the white. What doctor do you know or do you see is dressed like that? I just want to know. It's a rhetorical question. It's hypothetical because we know he's full of it. It's a lie. What did the Pope say? Quote, enough of the idolatry of self and money. Enough of the display of power. Enough of war. That's what Pope Leo said. What is Trump doing? We got a war going on in Iran. We've got American people worried that boots are going to be put on the ground. We've got the conflict in the Strait of Hormuz. We've already had the conflict with Iran that was supposed to end last June. We've got folks here on the right turning against Trump, whether it's Candace Owens, whether it's Megyn Kelly, whether it's Alex Jones, whether it's, Tucker Carlson. The list goes on and on and on. You got people making videos talking about how the president has abandoned them, that he campaigned on America First, and it's anything but. It's him first. I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised. All of this stuff's going on. And what is this man doing? He's portraying himself as Jesus. But it had to be fake news. It can't be him. He's the one that posted it. He's the one that deleted it. But other people are making up what we saw. Talk about the equivalent of spitting in our face telling us it's raining. Don't believe ourselves. Believe his lying eyes. He's the one that posted it. See, this is the problem. And there's just no way around it. It's all about him. And it's becoming more disastrous with each passing day, with each passing hour. I would love to see what Christians and Catholics in this country have to say about this. He deleted it for a reason. Who's going to support him now? Or at least support this? I want to see the Catholics in the media and what they have to say about this. Do you believe him as fake news? He wasn't trying to depict himself as the second coming, even though essentially he called himself that. When he talked about healing people, he said, because I do heal people. Really, how? How? And do you know, excuse my language, what balls you have to even say that? This is what we're talking about here. The man, at least in the eyes of those on the right, to those on the left, it's always been that way. But to those on the right, he's regressing beyond repair before our very eyes and leaving a whole bunch of American citizens who voted for him to feel like suckers. It's pretty bad. But it's Trump. So here's the problem. It's never that bad. Because he's not planning for running for re-election in 2028, unless he's going to circumvent the 22nd Amendment, which I don't think is going to happen. So as a result, he's already padded himself by over $1 billion since he's been back in office inside of a year and a half, if not $5 billion or $6 billion. How much more money is he going to get? How much of it is going to be at the expense of what's to the benefit of the American people? People are starting to ask themselves those questions. Starting to ask themselves those questions. And in the end, he's going to have to figure out something because it's looking very, very bad. And it's getting worse by the day. And if the Republicans don't step up and get to a point where they separate themselves from him, guess what? Everything's going to fall apart for them. That's why if you're the Democrats, keep it cool. Don't say anything. You knew you were going to hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? There she is right there. On Unorthodox Easter, President Trump attacked the Pope because the Pope is rightly against Trump's war in Iran. And then he posted this picture of himself as if he is replacing Jesus. This comes after last week's post of his evil tirade on Easter and then threatening to kill an entire civilization. I completely denounce this and I'm praying against it. That is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was a staunch supporter of Trump for years. Everything is coming apart by the seams. The question is the same going to happen for the Democrats? Because we know Trump is a lost cause. We know that he ain't changing. Okay? There are going to be those who support him no matter what. There are going to be others who decide to turn against him. And there are going to be representatives in both houses of Congress who one would anticipate will ultimately show up and act like they have a damn spine and stand up to the flagrantly wrong things that he does. I mean, it's just horrible. There seems to be no end. There's no limits to the depth to which he's willing to go. But if you're the Democrats, you got to make sure to stay the hell out of your own way. Which brings me to Representative Eric Swalwell. I don't know if those of you have seen the reports. I'm sure you have. But Eric Swalwell is in a world of trouble. His political career appears on the verge of being over. There's a rapid implosion that's taking place because the man campaigning for the gubernatorial seat in the state of California, who, by the way, was leading in the polls for the June primary, by the way, to succeed Gavin Newsom, it appears to be over. He's already canceled his campaign. He's a seven-term Democratic congressman, okay, who's been accused of rape and sexual misconduct. According to Eric Swalwell, I am suspending my campaign for governor. To my family, staff, friends, and supporters, I am deeply sorry for mistakes and judgment I've made in the past. I will fight the serious false allegations that have been made, but that's my fight, not a campaign's. That's what he said. He made the right decision. Here's why I made the right decision, for a couple of reasons. Number one, that would have paraded himself and his family through the muck and mire of the campaign with these accusations hovering over him. Number two, he basically already admitted that while he is not guilty of rape or sexual assault or anything like that, he did have lapses in judgment, basically being a married man for about 10 years, having dalliances with other women. On top of that, I don't know whether the videos are real or fake or whatever, but there seems to be mounting evidence against him. Adam Schiff, senator out of California, essentially has told him to cancel his campaign. Hakeem Jeffries, House Minority Leader, says the accusations, quote, are incredibly disturbing and advised him to immediately end his campaign. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi has bailed on him. And you also have to remember that Eric Swalwell, what do they say in the Wall Street Journal? Opening paragraph. The rapid implosion of Eric Swalwell's campaign for California governor is one for the record books, though few will mourn the event. The seven-term Democratic congressman is a leading practitioner of political lawfare and smear tactics. This is the Wall Street Journal, not me. So he is being measured for his own guillotine. That's what it says. Mr. Swalwell is dying by the same Me Too ethics standards he has long endorsed. When Brett Kavanaugh, the subject of unsupported accusations from his high school days, Mr. Swalwell said the Supreme Court nominee would have to be the, quote, single unluckiest person in the world for these people to conspire and make up lies against him. It goes on to say this is the wrong standard, but this is the one Swalwell set, because now those accusations are coming in his direction, except it ain't for when he was in high school. It's now. Eric Swalwell has been a guest on this show. In the interest of full disclosure, I know friends of his. That's how he ended up coming on as a guest on this show. I'm inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt as it pertains to criminal activity like rape and sexual assault. Innocent until proven guilty. And I sincerely hope he is innocent and not proven to be guilty about this, if indeed he is being lied upon. It is not lost on me that this could be a witch hunt, whether it's by Trump himself, via the Department of Justice, the FBI, anybody else. I don't know. They're supposed to be investigating something along the lines of him violating the law by hiring a Brazilian nanny who's undocumented. I don't know. It definitely appears to be a witch hunt to some degree. That doesn't make it false. It just means that they prioritized going after him. We don't know. Here's what we do know. That accusations were enough for Swalwell to go after folks on the right. And now he's facing the same situation. You're the Democrats. This is bad. They were right to sit up there and call for him to cancel his campaign for the gubernatorial seat. They were right to separate and distance themselves from him because, again, clearly where there's smoke, there's fire. Again, without getting into the lawful or lawlessness of a situation, it's clearly evident that as a married man, he was looking to get his groove on elsewhere. That much is clear. That he put himself in that position to be perceived as that kind of individual. There is no way around that. And my disgust as a person that had him on a guest on this, as a guest on this show, is that, bro, you knew what you were doing behind the scenes. Again, I'm not getting into rape, sexual assault allegations. That's extreme. I'm not getting into that. But you knew what was going on behind the scenes in terms of your consensual behavior with other women. Why are you putting yourself front and center when you knew what you were doing? Why? This is how Democrats can get in your own way. This is how any political official on both sides aisle can get in your own way. When your ego usurps common sense. Don't put yourself front and center if you know you got skeletons that's going to fall out the damn closet. Don't put yourself front and center like that. That's where my disgust lies. Nothing beyond that because I don't know. But that's my position. Who better to talk to about this stuff than my next guest? He's a liberal political commentator with more than 8.2 million combined followers on his social media and over 105 million likes on TikTok alone. His daily political and social live streams on YouTube and TikTok have made him the Gen Z face of politics. Please welcome back to the show the one and only Dean Withers. How are you, Dean? How's everything, man?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me back, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. Trump says that the photo of him depicting himself as Jesus, that's fake news. That's not true. He was a doctor. Your response to that, first and foremost, your response to that, sir?
I didn't know that doctors healed people with magical light powers that come out of their hands as angels watch over from the sky while they're also dressed in white and red robes. Listen. Either he's stupid or he thinks that we are stupid. This is the most common modern depiction of Jesus Christ. For everybody who grew up in a Christian family and would attend church on the regular, or maybe even had a family that would have depictions of Jesus in the home, that is the most common Jesus Christ look, quote unquote. So it's honestly insane that, you know, either he's lying to us and covering up what he thought would be something his base would like, the depiction of him as God, but that quickly backfired, or he truly cannot decipher the difference between a modern day medical doctor and the modern day depiction of Jesus Christ.
Why do you think he did that?
Well, I mean, I think trying to explain the actions of the insane is very difficult to do, and quite frankly, often you can't. And I think that, you know, by even asking that question, to a certain extent, we're sane washing what in all reality is just complete incoherent garbage. You know, like for instance, even you're a business owner, I bet at, you know, some point you've conducted a job interview. Now, my question to you would be is if you were interviewing somebody that maybe had a decent resume and inside of that interview, they praised Allah, threatened to genocide 90 million people, attacked the Pope, and then depicted themselves as God. Is that somebody that you'd walk away with arguing that they'd be a good fit for the position, very sane, rational person? Or is that somebody that you'd probably shut the door on and label off as crazy?
No question about it. I totally agree with you there. But then My question to you would be, how do you anticipate the GOP, folks on the right, are going to react to all of this? Usually they try to explain away anything, but I don't know how they're going to try to pull that off when millions upon millions of Catholics in this country no doubt must have been offended by what he did, because evidenced by him removing the post earlier today.
That's a good question. So I think we'll see a couple Republicans in Congress that hop on board with Trump's explanation. They will say that this is an innocent depiction of what looks to be a doctor. And then when the reporters ask them the very common sense question of, well, that doesn't make any sense, he had magical light glowing from his hands, they'll just kind of avoid those questions and move on with their day. But I think for the most part, I think that the representatives we have in Congress are at least smart enough to know that that explanation is not going to fly, and that this is a mess of a very large scale, considering the fact that 70% of Americans are Christian. And they'll just kind of leave it alone. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They'll try to not comment about it on the internet and just hope that it kind of fades into distant memory as we start to talk more about the Epstein files due to Melania's speech from the White House, or maybe updates with the war in Iran.
Are you of the mindset that he's just got another screw loose and he's completely lost it, or that he's using this as distractionary measures to get our attention away, whether it be the Epstein files, of the war in Iraq that's supposed to have never been because he was supposed to have obliterated them last June and that didn't happen? What do you think the motive is behind what he's doing? I know that's a tough question to ask because you don't think he's got all the screws connected, but I'm asking anyway.
Yeah, you know, I ask myself that same question on a daily basis. I think it's just incoherent. Incoherent senility. That's probably not a good word. Let me go ahead and replace that with another one. I think that it's incoherent garbage. I don't think that this is being driven by any deeper level of thought of distraction away from issues that are damning his administration. And my argument for that would be is that during his first term, you know, we never saw this when he was a little bit younger and maybe a little bit more coherent, with a little bit more spectacular insofar as using his brain to think critically. I mean, I still wasn't a fan of him, but, you know, we definitely didn't see him depicting himself as Jesus Christ, threatening genocide of 90 million people, so on and so forth. So frankly, man, I just think he's getting old. I think that there are leading medical health professionals that are arguing that there is an increasing plausibility of dementia. And now we see representatives such as Jamie Raskin formally requesting the private doctor of Donald Trump to give him a cognitive exam and then to bring the results back to Congress. And I think that there's something to that. I think he's losing his mind. And on top of that, well, if he wants to distract away from an issue, that's because he thinks that that issue is reducing his approval rating because he's not winning. But so will depicting himself as Jesus Christ. That's also going to tank his approval rating. And quite frankly, I'd argue for a lot of the GOP, the depiction of himself as Jesus Christ, textbook blasphemy, is probably worse in their eyes than slight stagnation in this war that they already support.
I'm of the mindset that I've listened to people call for the 25th Amendment to be invoked when it comes to him, that that's an exercise in futility. I've gotten on the Democratic Party for doing that because I'm like, I'm tired of wasted energy, Dean. And what I mean by that is let's focus on something that you can actually get done. Because the reality is that after going through what you went through, you know, in terms of the felony convictions and everything like that, the man still returned to office. And in order to get the 25th Amendment invoked, the vice president has to sign off. Half of the GOP's got to sign off, et cetera, two-thirds of Congress, all of this other stuff. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. Let's not waste the energy on that. Do you agree with that? Or are you in opposition to that mode of thinking and think that the 25th Amendment should be invoked where he's concerned?
Well, I mean, of course, I think the 25th Amendment should be invoked, but ultimately, I agree with you in the sense that it's not going to happen. And for that reason, I do think it is important for the Democratic Party to keep their priorities straight. We have a much better shot at impeachment through Congress if we could win the House and maybe even win the Senate come midterms. And I think that's what I'd really like to see done. I do not believe that J.D. Vance would ever stray away from the narrative set forth by Trump. Because quite frankly, I think that J.D. Vance is a lapdog. He's a follower. He's willing to do what will ever get him the most power. And right now, that's be a servant to Trump. I mean, just look at him before Trump was president, saying that Trump is literally America's Hitler, to now saying that Trump is literally the best president of history. So hopefully what we'll be able to do is impeach him through Congress after the Democrats win midterms with blue wave across the country. And then instead of J.D. Vance being a follower and a lapdog of Trump, hopefully he'll be a follower and a lapdog to the more reasonable demands of Congress, which is a slightly better reality than the one that we live in today.
How are you feeling about your Democratic Party at this particular moment in time? I mean, whether it's Trump's transgressions, flagrant transgressions, or lack thereof, how are you feeling about the Democratic Party right now, particularly in the aftermath of what's going on with Eric Swalwell, representative out of California?
Well, I'm happy to see the Democrat Party have a little bit of a backbone there. I think that we saw Democrats across the country come out swinging against Eric, saying drop out of the race and drop out of Congress, which I love to see. I mean, I'm happy that the Democratic Party is not like the Republican Party. They let somebody not just get accused of rape credibly, but then they let him get held civilly liable for it in a court of law, and then they still made him president. You know, at least we as Democrats have a little bit of a higher standard. If you have five credible accusations, you shouldn't be anywhere near a public office, because the social and moral fabric of this nation alongside its women and girls matters. But just my general thoughts on the Democratic parties, I think that we're headed in a good direction. Not only are the candidates getting a little bit more concerned with affordability for the average American, falling in line with the issues that matter the most, like maybe we shouldn't be giving billions of dollars to Israel or fighting a war in Iran. But we also see an increasing level of support across the nation for Democratic politicians winning big and special elections and really setting up for, quite the home run in midterms. Maybe one thing I'd say here is I just want the Democrats to be a little bit more demanding with a clear path of action to hold the Trump administration accountable. I don't think that it's the job of one man like Rep. Rakana that's been screaming across social media on different TV stations now in Jubilee for an hour and a half debate about why it's so important to hold Trump accountable, why it's so important to get the Epstein files released, why it's so important to try to impeach him for threatening genocide. I want to see more outspoken leaders that aren't just writing strongly worded tweets, but actually laying out a course of action to get something done. And there's not enough of them doing that.
Well, what should that course of action be? Because for me personally, I think the mistake is focusing too much on Trump. And here's what I mean by that, Dean. He can't do a damn thing without their support. He can talk about what he wants to talk about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that in a literal sense. I know he's got the power of the pen, executive orders. We know what trouble he's utilized that mechanism to invoke and all of that. I got that part. But what I'm saying is that if you've got members in both the House and the Senate on the GOP side who stand up, show a spine, and say, listen, this is wrong. We're not vibing with this. We're not going to do this. There's little that he can do to further damage this country. So my mentality is that I think it's a mistake to be so focused on every little thing that he does. I'm not talking about this latest one, because obviously you're Catholic, you're Christian, you should be offended by what he's done. I know I am. But I'm saying that overall, the distractionary measures he tries to implement and invoke, the things that he tries to do to get our eyes off the ball, you know, campaigning on the Epstein files and then going away from that, campaigning on no new wars and then engaging in yet another one, doing the kind of things that he's been doing. I think that if others within that party, that side of the aisle, stand up to him, that's the mode of attack that Democrats should be exercising, rather than focus on spewing, you know, derogatory rhetoric towards in his direction. What do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that is, how did that go with the release of the Epstein files? Because that's exactly what the Democrats tried to do for months, to get as many members of the GOP on board with the discharge petition to force a vote for the release of the release of the Epstein files. And after months of effort and labor and work invested into trying to get the GOP to divert away from Trump, we got what, four of them? Thomas Massey, Nancy yeah. Mace, Lauren Boebert, and MTG. And then, I mean, seemingly they all got burned. MTG was got kicked out of politics as a whole. Thomas Massey gets a paragraph written about how terrible he is about once a month. Nancy Mace, I don't know about her, but Lauren Boebert, she got her clean water bill killed in Colorado. So, I mean, if it was already so unsuccessful the first time around when it was about victims of rape and survivors of pedophilia, and then the four GOP members that we were able to convince got burned, I don't think it'd be too successful a second time around now that they know the consequences. But clearly, you are right in the sense that if that is something we could do, it would be the best course of action. So there's no harm in trying to continue to achieve that goal. But ultimately, because it hasn't worked before, we need to be realistic and we need to recognize that we live in a duopoly, a two-party system, where one of the two parties is serving to every call and demand of Trump and the other one is at least saying they want to stop him. So let's vote for the party that says they want to stop him and let's uplift candidates who swear an oath to the common decency, the Constitution, and paths of actions to prevent him from continuing on this path of madness, which would ultimately be voting for smart Democrats in the midterms.
Two more questions before I let you get on out of here. Number one, what do you think is going to happen to Trump now, considering the fact that he offended millions in the Christian and the Catholic community specifically for what he just did with this now AI deleted photo?
I think he's going to lose a lot of support. And I rarely say that because this is the man who is able to win an election after J6. After the civil court that concluded he raped E. Jean Carroll, after the 34 felonies. But I'm saying that now, and that's because of what I do when I go live every day. I talk to people who support Trump and I try to change their minds. Last night, after that photo was posted on Truth Social, I think we had three or four Trump supporters back to back who joined the live, told me they supported Trump. I showed them the picture. I explained why it's so blasphemous to their faith because every single one of them was Christian. And then they left saying, I can't support this. And I think that's a trend we see across the nation. And ultimately, this is just going to be another blow against his approval rating, a loss for Trump, but a win for humanity.
Last question for you. If there was one thing you would advise the Democratic Party not to do as the midterms rapidly approach this year, considering the momentum that has been built over the last few months, particularly because of Trump's transgressions and his idiocy on too many occasions, what would it be?
Yeah, I would advise the Democratic Party not to do what got us into the situation in the first place, which is inaction, just strongly worded letters, maybe a mean tweet. But outside of that, they just stay cozied up in their multi-million dollar townhouse in D.C. and they don't really give a fuck. Sorry for cursing. I think that we need to follow the trend set out by the more predominant, more progressive Democrats of the party today, which is talk to the people, demand change, lay out a path for change, support articles of impeachment in Congress, support meaningful boots on the ground movements to sway the minds of the electorate and to really do something. You know, that's it. In one sentence or less, I advise the Democrats to not actually do something with the momentum that has been presented to them on a silver plate to actually get something done.
Listen, I know that's how it's going to be my last question, but you just said something that sparked another question. You said support articles of impeachment. Haven't we tried that already? I mean, the man has been impeached twice. He still ended up back in office. Why waste energy on that when you know it's not going to lead to him leaving office before 2028? Why, Dean? Why even bother?
Well, I think we can learn a lot from why they failed the first two times around. You know, like for example, the second time around, the articles of impeachment failed in the Senate because they didn't know that they could impeach a president who was no longer in office. And frankly, the reason why I'm still drilling in on this so hard, saying support articles of impeachment, is because I think that we should support all possible means to get something done to get him out of office. But ultimately, in order for the articles of impeachment to succeed, okay, we're going to need the Senate, all right? Because that's why it's failed in the last two times is because we didn't get the Senate, which I guess would be underpinned of an assumption that the Democrats would be able to win the Senate in midterms, which then, of course, is also underpinned by people getting out there and voting. So I think you actually have a good point here, Stephen. I'd actually change that statement from supporting articles of impeachment to rather getting out there and voting in the midterms. Because if we do get out there and we vote in the midterms, if we do win both chambers of Congress, then it's no longer a figment of history that we know will fail again. So good point.
That's what I've been talking about. Dean Withers, thank you. Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear from somebody on the left. That's what I wanted to hear. It's like, no, can we actually do stuff that's going to have an impact instead of whistling into the wind about stuff that's not going to get him out of office? I mean, yo, you get the Democrats back into the House, control of the House or the Senate or both, then guess what? You've muted him significantly. That's really what we're after, is it not? That's all I've been saying.
Amen. I'm on board with you. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks a lot, my man. I appreciate the time. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care.
One only Dean Withers said it better. I can't say it better myself. I don't need to say anything after that. I don't need a closing remark. He just gave it to you. He's Dean Withers. Check him out. You see him all over TikTok, all over social media. The brother's potent, to say the least. Bright, bright young dude. Really brilliant, to be quite honest with you. Really love having him on the show. Thanks to Dean Withers for being on the show. That's it for this special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. Remember, I'm on Wednesday night, Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Check me out with my political show right there on POTUS Radio. Until then, peace and love, everybody. Stephen A. signing off.